May 6, 2015 was a beautiful spring day in the Boston area. Around noontime, about a dozen plus activists gathered outside the main entrance to MIT, the Massachusetts Institute for Technology, to protest the university's involvement with drone technology. Although small in size, the group was quite visible with huge banners, posters, and even a 10-foot tall model drone above. Susan McLucas of the Eastern Massachusetts Anti-Drone Network was one of the organizers.
A UN official, Ben Emerson, calls them a violation of Pakistani sovereignty. And MIT's own Noam Chomsky has called the drone program the most extreme terrorist campaign of modern times. Now, recently we found out that a couple of aid workers who were being held hostage by Al-Qaeda were killed. We have Warren Weinstein and Giovanni Loporto, an Italian and American, who were both killed. And all of a sudden, it's news. We're having a serious debate now in the public arena about whether we should have drone killings, which is a really great thing. I like having that debate. But I wonder why that debate wasn't held over all of the Pakistanis in Waziristan and all the Yemenis and Somalis who have just as much a right to live as do Warren Weinstein and Giovanni Loporto.
Nancy Murray, a longtime activist with many organizations, also addressed those assembled, although she did so today without any group affiliation, just as a concerned citizen.
So what does the future look like for these high-tech assassins? As well as causing a huge amount of heartbreak, fear, and destruction, they are going to make American and Israeli companies extremely rich. U.S. drone sales are projected to amount to $6 billion by 2016, thanks to the efforts of a robust drone lobby.
She went on to talk about domestic use of drones and cited documents released by the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
These documents revealed that in a two-year period, 2010 to 2012, the Customs and Border Protection flew its drones more than 100 times for the various components of the Department of Justice, including the FBI, U.S. Marshals, and the DEA. In the same month, the Inspector General of the DOJ, the Justice Department, issued a report saying that the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, had only flown drones on two occasions for the Justice Department. So there's a real discrepancy. The documents say 100 times. The DHS is admitting to only two times that these drones have been used by Department of Justice agencies. So not only is there virtually no transparency in how our killer drone program is being conducted abroad, we are being kept in the dark here at home about what is happening in the skies above us.
The visibility of this small but spirited group did catch the attention of the lunchtime crowd at the Institute. Chantel is a teaching fellow who just happened to be passing by.
A lot of people in here, or a lot of things that come out of MIT that perhaps have something to do with drones on some level. But I'm interested in this. It's something I think about often. You know, if we're allowed to, as a US country, go into other countries and, you know, use drone strikes and take out targets, so to say, you know, and at some point, where does that stop and where does that escalate to? And at some point in the future, do we have a complete drone war? And there's always, you know, as we know, there's civilian kind of casualties. So, you know, if it happens there, why would it not happen here in the future? And I don't think people really consider that, you know, because they don't see it.
One of the demonstrators, Anne, is with United for Justice with Peace.
MIT is involved in drone development and have huge military contracts. And that's one of the reasons we're targeting MIT.
So how does MIT, how do you think MIT is going to respond to this? I mean,
they're not.
They're not. They're going to just totally ignore you.
Yes. Yes. Which they have done in the past.
But MIT likes to profess they're doing science for humanity as well. They like to project an image.
Well, they may be doing some science for humanity. They're also doing huge military government contracts that are not for humanity. They're for killing people. That's not humane.
You want to tell me who you are and why you're out here?
P.F. Soto. And I'm here because we've lost our country to the military-industrial complex, and Americans have got to wake up, stop voting for these evildoers in Washington that are in the pockets of the corporations and the military-industrial complex. We have no democracy anymore, and too many Americans are oblivious to that fact. These wars that are going on now have been planned for a long time. We're expert at getting people to kill each other if we don't do it ourselves.
Activist Bob Feldman explains why the group decided to gather in front of MIT.
MIT is the institution that developed initially the electronic battlefield using laser guided bombs that developed into the drone warfare. Since the 9/11 in 2001, MIT's defense contracts have grown. At Lincoln Laboratory, they're developing the next generation of drone warfare weapons. There's a kind of hypocrisy that, again, that's I think what this demonstration is doing, is it's exposing the fact that the war isn't just something 6,000 miles away or down in Washington, D.C. It's here in the Pentagon's laboratory.
Thea is an MIT employee who came out during her lunch break to stand with the group. I asked her if she felt MIT was responsible for drone technology.
I think certainly they contribute to the technology, not necessarily how it's used, but I think all engineers and scientists have a moral responsibility to ask those questions as they are building their careers.
Thea went on to address the demonstration with a poem and some commentary.
Targeted killing is a monstrous lie. Drones hover and strike, women, children, and hostages die. Here at MIT, investigations are carried on with billions of dollars for research with military applications being done. And less than 10% of basic scientific research proposals see funds. U.S. corporations sell arms around the globe, fueling conflicts, reaping profits, killing hope. And nuclear-armed nations fail to meet their NPT obligations. Freedom cannot live in such a state at 3 minutes to midnight. The hour is late. Too much brain power is used on improving ways to kill each other instead of solving the real problems we face, such as climate change. No one wants to die because a bomb explodes or from a police bullet. The mythologies that drive the policies causing such violence and madness and killing so many people are simply unacceptable, and it has to stop. End all this insanity and to redirect the trillions spent on killing people to be spent instead on taking care of each other and planet Earth. So spread the word. Standing here with you today for peace and justice, out of a great love for humanity with all our imperfections, and for love of our planet Earth, is the only answer I know of. And I'm grateful to join you today here at MIT, where I have worked for more than 25 years as we set our good, even prophetic words into today's gentle spring breeze against the mad policies of destructive disaster.
Beautifully stated. Raising consciousness on a pretty spring day, I am Chuck Rosina reporting from the MIT campus.